Married with Children, the podcast, hosted by Dustin and Callie. Follow us on social media, on Twitter, at @married_show, Facebook, Married with Children Show, on Instagram, Married with Children Show, or reach out to us in an email, marriedwithchildrenshow@gmail.com. We're always looking for guests and sponsors. If you have a name of a guest that would be an interesting interview on the Married with Children Show, please send that information to us through social media or straight to our email address. Also, if you have a small business that you'd be interested in being a sponsor on the show, please reach out to us through an email so that we can work out a way that best suits you and our listeners. Also, if you like the podcast, be willing to rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Welcome back to Married with Children, the podcast. Exciting night tonight. Got my sister and brother-in-law in studio, Danielle and Andrew Kirk. I guess I should say Andrew and Danielle Kirk to be the proper way, or Danielle and Andrew Roller. Depends on which way you want to look at it.
Well, introduced at the wedding as
That's right. So. I forgot about that.
Well, and to be honest, after I married Callie, I got mail at her parents' house that said Dustin Covert. So
it happens.
It didn't lead to any payments or any kind of windfall, but it did show up there. So, but we brought them on tonight. Going to have a little bit of fun. Obviously, you know, throwing up on Facebook Live, like I said, we're going to, hopefully the sound's going to be a little bit better with the new setup. Want to give a huge shout out because of that to Justin Kelly, Justin Juice Kelly, from the Juice in the Morning podcast. If you have not gone out and downloaded Juice in the AM, I highly suggest that you do. Juice has had some big time guests on lately,
yeah,
and some more
coming. One that I was enjoying, just to, so that any of you know, I don't know if any of you watched The Challenge on MTV or have heard of it, but they had TJ Lavin,
yes,
that is the host of The Challenge on Juice in the Morning.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
go download
time,
it.
For
good,
sure.
Very, very good interview, too. Talk
about, yeah, it was great.
TJ coming up in the BMX scene and, you know, the things that he's done. So, great one. Andrew, if you want to, you can raise that chair up if you want. I only put them down so that they get underneath the table. So it's
I'm going to stay here so that Callie can feel a little bit taller.
Get
that extra half inch.
Shots fired already.
Yeah,
so.
Big time.
But anyway, yeah, so Juice in the Morning, TJ Lavin.
Yeah,
I know they've
so
got
good.
Some other big guests coming on here in the near future, but I can't say enough about them. You know, Juice came down and did our podcast. Juice is a great guy. You know, shouted out to us about Facebook Live and said, dude, you got to get the iRig too. And we're trying out the iRig 2 tonight, so we'll see how
hopefully figured it out for you.
Yeah, hopefully the sound sounds a little bit better. But also, before we get started, I want to throw out another podcast and throw some love to the Smugcast show. BJ Robbins, I saw him on Instagram and Facebook, or Facebook stories, I guess I should say now, throughout us the other day on 4th of July. Said if you're looking for something to listen to, go check out Espresso Fam, also Juice in the AM, and then the Married with Children show. So huge shout out to BJ and AP up at the Smugcast show. They've done a ton for us. You know, I teased the other day because AP always picks on Juice for not knowing sound, and Juice helped me out with sound, but AP is always there for me when I've got questions. So, you know, a huge shout out to those guys, and, you know, excited for everything that the podcast group's kind of doing there. So to get started, though, before we, I don't know, do you want to get into their big trip, or do you want, I've got a couple other things. What do you want to do first, Cal? I'm going to throw it to you.
Let's do the trip.
Okay. So you guys just took a honeymoon. You got married all the way back in October. You didn't know if you guys were going to really like each other or not. So you waited until now to go on a honeymoon, which I totally get. I got married on a Saturday night. I left at Sunday at 5 a.m. And the woman that woke up
Not the one you married.
No, not at all. And I was thought, man, I'm going for a week with her. But it turned out okay. Then I found Callie. So you guys, you obviously waited for your honeymoon. Big reason why you were going to take a big trip.
Yes.
And that was to Ireland and Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, fill us in a little bit. Why Ireland and Scotland?
Well, I'd say the big reason is because my now husband can't sit still on a beach. So that eliminated a lot of the common honeymoon destinations.
Let's not just blame me because you're just as bad.
Well, possibly. I can lay on the beach a little bit better. So he'd always wanted to go, especially due to the Guinness and the different distilleries and things. And it had a lot of nature and beauty that we wanted to see. So it came pretty easily to pick those destinations.
Now, Kirk, that is kind of an Irish and Scottish name. Is there a heritage there?
Actually, there is an extreme heritage. My dad's done a lot of research on it, to the point he's actually run out of history to look at. He found an orphan, so you don't get any further back than that. But I think, correct me if I'm wrong, 1500s?
1500s,
like
yes.
1560. But we did learn a lot. Kirk is a Scottish name. It's Scottish for church. And a lot of times the way that they named their clans, if you were close to the church or you were a big churchgoer, instead of being, let's use the roller name, for instance. Say you got Dustin Roller and you have a child and you name him Dustin Roller. And you have another child and you name him Dustin Roller. But the first two have brown hair and the next one has black hair, say, and then he would be Dustin Black. So then it became, instead of being, you know, another roller, it would be, oh, they live by the church, so that would be Dustin Kirk. That's how that kind of came about. And there's a lot of other things in that regards. A lot of people took the church name or Kirk, so that was the big thing.
So basically what you're saying is some of the Kirks that may also have the same name Kirk may not have the DNA.
Yeah, that is, yeah, absolutely.
Relative to you. But it's because of just the naming idea.
Correct, yeah. They explained it to us that it was easier if you had three of the same people and one of them had a different hair color than the other two, you'd say, oh, that's Dustin Brown because he had brown hair. So that way when you yell out in the town, Dustin Brown, you know it's that guy, not the one of three that you might get.
Okay, because I have a son that has ginger hair, so should I call him Alex Ginger?
You could very easily, yes.
I kind of like that.
By Scottish tradition, yes, he would be.
I don't think your heritage is Scottish, but you can try to pull it off.
It's not.
Yeah, so.
No, we actually looked it up. Roller's English.
To get into it, this was on my list that I was going to get started with. I actually, Callie, for Father's Day, got me a 23andMe kit.
Oh, okay.
So I actually have my DNA results of our heritage. We are 99.5% European.
Wow.
55.7% is British and Irish,
mm-hmm.
which would be where the name comes from. 18.5% French and German. We've got about 5% Scandinavian, but we do have 0.4% Native American, which Mother always told
us.
We related to Pocahontas. So that was obviously a interesting thing. I do have on 23andMe, the interesting thing, 988 DNA relatives. They are all between third to fifth cousins, which my assumption is now I'm adding them all one by one on Facebook, because that's 988 other listeners to the podcast show.
Absolutely. Great podcast army.
I mean, I think if you're DNA related to me, you have to listen.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I do know that.
We tried that when we actually found an artist by the name of Alan Kirk, and he did not respond as positively to, hey, I think we're related, as we had hoped.
Really?
Yeah, he kind of glossed over that piece.
Email got shot down.
We were hoping for maybe like a family discount, but not so much. But he does have some fantastic artwork out there, so if you look him up, great stuff. So shout out to Alan Kirk for free.
Wow.
There you go.
Where is he from?
He is actually from Ireland, a small town outside of Lurgan. very, very small town. Like smaller than Crothersville, actually.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you guys went over to Ireland and Scotland, obviously. Where did you stop first? Because to be 100% honest, and this sounds awful, but I didn't even really realize you guys had left the day you had left. And then they were like, yeah, they flew out today. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't know that. And then I thought you were only leaving for like 7 days. And I'm like, no, they're not going to be back for like 7 months or something like that.
Dustin was like, yeah, I think Daniel and Andrew get back, you know, this weekend. And I'm like, no, they get back next weekend.
Yeah, you left for like 7.5 months or something.
17 days, but close.
Close, yeah. Very close.
That felt like 7.5 months.
Because you missed me so much.
I guess so.
No, because I didn't get a vacation like that.
Well, we started off and we flew into Dublin. And we spent a couple nights there. And then we rented a car for the whole time. So Andrew drove.
What kind of car?
The first car that we had in Ireland was a Skoda Superb.
Yep, I have no idea what that is.
Is that like a little car?
Is that like another name for the Toyota Supra?
No.
It was very large, actually.
It was kind of like a Volkswagen Jetta, about the same size.
Okay.
Yeah, so Andrew had to drive on the wrong side of the car, on the wrong side
of
the road.
Yeah, how is that?
Surprisingly a lot easier than I expected.
Because,
I mean,
you're still sitting like in the middle of the road. You know, like...
No.
You go from being on the shoulder to being on the divider, because on the.
But when I drive, I'm in the divider, right?
Well, I don't know where you're at on the divider, then, Callie.
I don't know. I guess I'm not understanding what he's talking about. Like what I mean is if this is the road and I'm driving, I'm in the middle of the road, like the driver's seat is.
Yeah, just mirror
towards
it.
The median.
Yeah,
that's what I mean.
Yes,
so
yes,
now
okay.
You're here on the other side.
Yeah.
So you're still in the middle of the road.
Right. The difference that the biggest problem I had was the idea of depth from going from the left side of the car to the right side. Because, we've all rented cars and, you know, driving here, it's very easy to get in a car no matter what car it is. And you have that basic understanding of where that passenger side is in relation to the lines, and it's a totally different ball
when you're looking on like
on
the other
side. Also, you don't really understand how much muscle memory you get used to with getting in and out of a car on that side. I hit my head about 7 or 8 times.
Yes.
And struggled mightily getting in and out of the car on the wrong side.
I'm going to interrupt real quick here because I see on Facebook Live that BJ Robbins actually joined us, and I do want to, while he's on here, hopefully on Facebook Live, give a shout out to BJ. Thanks for promoting our show the other day, brother, and I appreciate it. I know you don't like to claim us down here in Jackson County, but you are a former Al, even though we're down here in Crothersville and Gentucky and, you know, B-Town. But from a former Al, you're an all right guy, so I had to come after you a little bit there, BJ. So, brother, I appreciate everything you're doing to try and help us support us as well. So, huge shout out to you, brother. So, anyway, so you flew into Dublin, Ireland. You had to drive the car on the wrong side of the road. So, how long were you there around Dublin?
We spent the first 2 nights in Dublin.
Yeah.
Okay. And again, I've never obviously been there, but what is there in Dublin? I mean, I would immediately go find, you know, a place to, you know, have dinner and maybe a
beverage.
Cold, hydrating
So we had
liquor.
Been up for about 18 hours.
Okay.
But we were told to avoid jet lag with the time difference that we had to stay awake. So we did immediately try to find somewhere to go eat and have a drink and make sure we could stay up. Dublin is very big city. It's definitely more...
It's kind of like a Chicago.
Yes.
Okay.
So we had we didn't drive the car in Dublin until we left. We had a hop-on, hop-off bus, and we did a lot of walking. And that's where we got to do, like, the Guinness and a lot of the distilleries that are in... A lot of them center themselves in Dublin. So not as much of the landscape, but definitely has some neat features.
Very cool.
Yeah, one of the first things we did was we actually found the Temple Bar, which is one... It's kind of a tourist attraction, but it is... It's just one of the oldest bars in Dublin, and it was really neat.
Very cool.
And then we found a distillery the next morning at 10 a.m. And then went to another one at about 1. And then we went to Guinness at 2.
What is the Temple Bar known for?
It's because of the location. So it's one of the oldest bars. It's a bright red bar. And they've actually built the entire area around it, and it's called the Temple Bar. That's where all the college kids kind of go. And then it is also a tourist destination, but you have the Temple Bar area, but you have to find the actual Temple Bar that everything else has been built
who
around.
Who was the major author there? Was it Joyce? James Joyce?
I believe so.
Yeah, they actually, I think it was the big place where he would go and write and get his creative juices flowing, so to say.
Very cool.
So you talked about jet lag, like how hard, what, I mean, did that help if you stayed up, like staying up and like fighting through it? I mean, was it a big deal, like going there or back?
It was harder going back, I think. Mm-hmm. Going there, we landed at about 8 a.m. So, we slept a little bit on the plane, like took a little bit of a nap just to kind of get back up. But once we landed at about 8:30, you know, I mean, it was just kind of business as usual.
Okay.
Coming home was harder, and really? We got delayed in New York, so by the time we'd been traveling for that long, the next day was very rough.
Yeah, the way home, we were expecting to kind of get home at a certain time, and we were preparing ourselves mentally, like, okay, cool, we get to go to bed, and then it was, sorry, you have to wait another hour,
Yeah.
It's just kind of, that's...
Oh. Well, this is a kind of totally off the subject, but it reminded me when you said you were delayed in New York. Have you seen the video on Facebook of the lady that says how to have fun in an airport? And she has the stickers that look like an outlet.
Yes.
And she,
I have not seen this.
She'll go find like columns like next to seats and she'll stick these stickers on it. It looks like there's an outlet there. And then she just records people trying to plug their phones in. It is priceless. It's one of the funniest things I've seen because I honestly want to order stickers that just look like outlets and just walk around them. Place them places. I thought that was priceless.
Actually did have, which I'm not sure if the person ever got on a flight, but I know you have to have a ticket to get back. But on the way there, still in the United States, we had people handing us very religious pamphlets, and they had a whole huge purse full of them. And it was kind of like when people come door to door and like ask you, but you're sitting in the airport. And I was like, I guess if you're just, that's a new place
to find people.
I was very confused on if that was like she was actually flying or if she just bought a cheap ticket to come and like speak the name. I don't know. I was like, I took the pamphlet, but I was a little confused by it all.
Interesting.
That is interesting. All right, so started in Dublin Island a couple days, then where do we go from there?
We went to Cork, which is nearby the home of the great Middleton Jameson Distillery.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let me ask you before we kind of get into that, because I know there's a story with that that Danielle knows so well, so I definitely want her to go over that. But like, did you stay in, like, true hotels, or did you stay in, like, bed and breakfast-type facilities? What was the deal?
Well, we actually thought we were staying in bed and breakfast for the most part because our itinerary said bed and breakfast, but there that actually just means that you paid for breakfast and a bed.
Yeah, it's...
So it's big hotels.
So it was... A lot of them were just, like, hotels?
Yes, yeah. But in Cork, we stayed in a castle.
When it says bed and breakfast, that's telling you what you paid for. So not...
It's like an old house.
Yeah, exactly. No, it is literally, you have a ticket for breakfast, you've already paid for it.
Their bed and breakfasts are more called holiday rentals. Yep. So you stay in someone's house or...
Yeah, the Airbnb kind of stuff. They're very separate.
Okay. Hmm. All right. That's interesting. Yeah. So, okay. So we got to Cork, which is what you put in a wine bottle.
Yes. Yes. They don't do wine there.
Okay.
Grapes don't grow. Mm-mm. So they're not known for wine.
No, they just drink whiskey.
Yeah.
But they can't get it there?
Some of the restaurants have it, but most choose to not carry it.
Especially probably with as much, I mean, like beer and alcohol, and like other alcohol, I guess,
they actually, kind of what we learned, just a short history, the Irish whiskey used to have, what was it, 60-some percent of the market before Prohibition. But when... World War One, II broke out, and the U.S. decided to make the awful choice of prohibition. Irish whiskey went from 60% market share to 2%. And at the time, the Canadian market was trying to import whiskey and make their own, and they made their own really bad whiskey, called it Irish whiskey, and tried to sell it to the U.S. And people got such a bad taste for it that. They used to have how many? It was over 100 distilleries in Ireland, and they shut down to 3 due to the complete fallout of their largest market. And what we learned was there's been this huge revival. But that was kind of what we discovered, and they do take their whiskey very seriously. They take their So that's why they're very against kind of the wine and the imported stuff. What we found is they're very, very hardcore on their local product.
Okay.
Regardless
okay.
of what it is.
Interesting.
So like what's the elements that like we've done the bourbon trail and learned about the history of Kentucky bourbon. What is the elements that go into making sure that you have a true Irish whiskey?
Would you like to share the 3 magic ingredients?
No, it's okay. You can do it.
So after we went on 7 distillery tours in Ireland, there are 3 magic ingredients, water, yeast, and grain, which is typically when you're doing an Irish whiskey, you have a pot still, which is the big copper bulbs.
Mm-hmm.
They do part barley, part malted barley. If you do a single malt, that is a whiskey that has been in one place its entire life. From production to aging, mm-hmm. it has not left the premises. A blend, any blended whiskey or non-single, refers to anything that has come from multiple different areas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's the same process as bourbon, really.
Except for that you have to, for Irish, 3 years in one day. Is how long it has to be.
Yes. Okay, so that's the aging process.
Gotcha.
And that one day is incredibly important to them because Scotch whiskey, to be whiskey there, is 3 years. And the Irish, as a very, very proud nation, believe that their product is superior, and they add an extra day. So you cannot call it Irish whiskey until it has been 3 years and another 24 hours.
Now, is there a specific barrel type that it has to be aged in?
Theirs is not as specific, but they do use reused bourbon barrel casks. That's the most common.
Okay, so they'll put it in a reused barrel.
Right. So
because I was going to say, because I know when we went to the bourbon tours.
Well, they sell it to a lot of Scotch. I know sell it to a lot of Scotch distilleries. And obviously a lot of like bourbon-infused wines and things like that, bourbon-infused beers. But I know that, like, you know, to be a true bourbon, it has to be in a new charred white oak barrel. I mean, that is the...
And they said that's because the U.S. really wanted to make sure that the...
No one else could make bourbon.
Well, and that the barrel makers didn't lose out on their jobs.
That was actually more about the coopers than anything.
So the coopers, they really wanted to make sure that they kept their jobs. So by not being able to reuse the barrels, and it's just worked out for Ireland and Scotland that they're able to use
kind of recycle them.
That's what they used to say, you know, if you go on the bourbon tour in Kentucky, you know, back 20, 30 years ago, before they realized to resell these to the Scotch companies and the Irish whiskey companies, they said you could just drive up to any distillery in Kentucky and get any barrel you wanted. They just sat the barrels out because they couldn't reuse them. So I think they have actually figured out that idea of how to recycle and make a little bit more money.
I think when I realized how important the industry really is in Ireland and Scotland was when they told us that their master blenders go to school longer than their doctors. And each distillery only has one master blender. So you may go you go to school for 8 to 10 years and then
that's after you've already gone to school to be like a master's degree in chemistry.
Yeah. You do a chemistry or like pharmacy type degree.
Uh-huh.
And then each place only hires one master blender. So I was like, I asked, what do the other people do? And they said, we really don't know.
How do you get one of those jobs?
Yeah, it's very difficult, and usually a master blender stays and you have to be underneath that master blender to get hired
until they retire.
So they take everything very seriously. They're more serious than a medical degree. So I was like, oh, wow, okay. Well,
yeah.
So you have to really know your stuff.
Wow.
Interesting. So, and then you went to Jameson.
Yeah, Middleton Distillery. That was probably one of the neater places we went to because it's actually a conglomerate. What a lot of people don't know is Jameson as a whole, at the time when the distilleries all started to shut down, they actually joined together and formed basically a guild of distilleries. And they all started kind of producing under one name, and Jameson's the flagship. So Jameson, Redbreast, Powers, those are the big ones. They all are actually owned by the same group, but they all produce out of one location. But they had some of the just the neatest history. They showed where, you know, there were guys who would spend 12, 14 hours a day just shoveling coal. And I think they said the average worker there would shovel 4 tons of coal a day to keep the pot stills going.
Now, out of curiosity, I know you said that Jameson's kind of a conglomerate. Are most of those brands still owned by Scottish or Irish companies? I mean, because I know that, like, you talk about even some of the bourbons in Kentucky. A lot of those are owned by Japanese companies that have bought them into different alcohol distributors.
Right. So there's I think there's 3 major alcohol producers in the world. There's the Beam, Suntory, Diageo, and another one like that escapes me right now. And they all are parts of different ones. There are 1 or 2 that we actually went to that were strictly still their own identity. But you could tell which ones had the bigger funding and the bigger backing.
A lot of people are trying to get away from it because places like the one that Jameson is owned by, they really have only been pushing Jameson. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the other ones were kind of put on the back burner. So they felt that it was better to break out and go with some smaller companies and some more local places. But the big names are all owned by the major alcohol companies.
Yeah. Any well-known one here, Jameson, Bushmills, you know, Johnny Walker and all those, they're all owned by some greater company.
Okay. All right. So then where do we go next?
Next, we went to Trolley.
That's right. Yes.
Mm-hmm. I like Danielle's face. She's like,
We only spent like 2 nights in each place.
I know.
So
and to Trolley, think of it in order.
Trolley is part of a train.
Right.
Spelled a little differently. This one is T-R-A-L-E-E.
Why did they misspell it?
I don't know. We'll have to talk to them about that.
Probably the whiskey.
Good answer.
Which has an E in it, by the way.
Irish, not Scottish.
Right.
Yes.
That was a big deal to them to, on top of the extra day of aging, Irish whiskey and American whiskey both have an E in them. Scotch whiskey does not.
Oh, really?
So next time you go to the liquor store for fun, look at it and see. W-H-I-S-K-Y is Scotch. E-Y is American or Irish.
Huh. Okay. I'm learning a lot already. So, okay. So we're in Trolley.
Mm-hmm. It's very small.
And they still have a large hotel in Trolley, even though it's very small?
No. We were in a smaller hotel there.
I don't remember which hotel it was.
That was the Klansman? No. Commons. That's where we went.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, so
smaller hotel.
I'm just going to ask, when you say the Klansman, what exactly is the Klansman? Because to our listeners, that may mean a totally different ideal.
The clans that are from the Highlands. So like when you think of like the show Highlander or things like that, the clans that would fight. Okay. Outlander. Like, yeah.
Clan with a C.
Yeah, okay. I heard you just kind of whisper in the mic like, remember when we stayed at the Klansman?
And yeah, we
I
don't thought,
no, no, no. Very different. No, that was actually a hotel in Scotland that looked out onto Loch Ness.
Okay.
That was cool. Totally different.
Okay.
What did we do in Trolley?
I'm not sure.
So Trolley wasn't any good.
Don't go there.
It was not our most memorable day, clearly.
Small, have a lot of Klansmen. Moving on. No, joking. So then we went on from there to where?
Galway.
Okay, and Galway is what we're looking
at. It's actually probably one of the other bigger cities. So not like an Indy, but more like a Greenwood, kind of.
Okay.
It was a little bit bigger city. We did a whiskey food tasting with a fantastic gentleman named John, and it ended up actually being a private tour. So it was just us two and him.
He led
us around to a couple different bars. We got to taste 2 whiskeys each, and he had paired them with food very particularly. One of the best ones we had was actually a smoky. It was the only peated Irish whiskey. Scotch whiskey is peated. It's a little different process. That's where it gets that smokiness. There's one distillery in Ireland that does it, and he paired it with barbecue ribs. And it was out of this world.
Now, when you say it's peated, what does that mean? Because I know, like, peat moss, like...
Exactly.
In those areas, from my geography background, you know, peat is kind of that soft soil that they dig and those kind of things.
So, the big differentiation, other than 24 hours between Scotch whiskey and Irish whiskey, Scotch whiskey is... The barley is dried using a peat fire or peat smoke. So, because they don't have coal in Scotland, they dig up the peat and they burn it, and it makes that smoky, the really smoky smoke. I get smoky smoke.
Yeah, very descriptive. I always hate smoky smoke.
It's the worst.
I don't mind just smoke, but when it gets smoky smoke, that
sounds
terrible.
Like something Alan.
It really does. But Irish whiskey, they just use kilns. They add coal and dry it out, and it's a very clean smoke versus that really
that smoky smoke.
Smoky smoke.
Yeah, that's smoky smoke.
It's just
very
terrible.
Very descriptive.
Mm-hmm. And there's one Irish distillery that does it, and it was really interesting, the differences between pairings. I mean, we had whiskey and chocolate, which, you know, everyone talks about wine and chocolate, fruit, and you would never have guessed that a whiskey and chocolate would work. And
well, actually, I think we did that on the bourbon tour, didn't we? We did a chocolate.
On one of them, yes, we did.
I think it might have been the Woodford Reserve.
Oh, I was going to say the Heavenly Hills one, but...
It might have been.
Maybe not. I don't know. But yes, I think one of them we did have chocolate with.
That was one of the big things we did, and the...
We also did a food walking tour there.
Yes.
And I was very confused on why the paper said that if you showed up and they found you to be intoxicated, that they wouldn't let you go because it started at 10 a.m. And then we went to our second location, and they handed me a shot of whiskey at 10:30 a.m. So then I realized...
They handed
it was
us
a drinking,
three shots of whiskey.
Drinking and food tour, but still family friendly. There was a kid who got to come, and he would get hot chocolate or a lemonade or something.
Aww.
But we were not prepared for it, but it was really neat. They focused on the places that were staying with Irish ingredients and family, like all the family-owned places. So we got to try a lot of different places, which we wouldn't have gotten to do.
Okay,
yeah.
Talking about food,
yes.
Because I like food, out of all the things that you got an opportunity to try, what was number one, the best thing that you, and not, don't give me like something that you thought you'd like, but something that surprised you, you'd like. And then number two, what was the thing you tried that you were like, oh my God, this is awful. I'd never eat this again.
The one thing that we tried that we as, especially probably as most Americans would never think, was haggis, which is sheep intestines.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you liked it?
Oh, it was fantastic. Actually.
Did you try
now,
it?
Is that,
I did.
Is that the sheep intestine where they like stuff like rice and...
No. This is just... It's just
it
basically
almost looks like
mincemeat the intestines.
They
are... The Irish and Scottish are not people to waste anything.
Ugh.
So if they can use it, they do. And haggis was actually fantastic. We actually got it a couple different times at a couple different places.
Really?
Okay. Like what? Give me a comparison to what it tastes like.
There really isn't
like,
one.
Like hamburger.
It's like a meat. That's
kind of
like
the texture of a meat. A lot of times they'll wrap it in like a filo
pastry.
Dough, like a crescent roll,
okay.
Or they might stuff a chicken breast with it, with like some cheese and stuff. So it's kind of like a. It's not something
it's
that
like
you don't get like a whole like
kind of,
steak.
Okay.
You don't get like a whole steak of it or something. Like it's always with something else.
Okay.
It's very fine grind, but it is looser, but it's very minerally.
Okay.
But that was fantastic. The one thing I tasted, she stayed away from it, and good for her, was black pudding.
Now black pudding, is that something with
the
blood and the intestines?
Yes, black pudding is a blood sausage with oats in it, and I apologize to Ireland and Scotland right now. Terrible.
Really?
Completely horrible. I tried it at one of the first places we went to, and it was a lower budget place, and I tried it at a high dollar restaurant, and it was still terrible.
Now, do you know what actually is in that? Because it is like...
We looked it up,
oh,
and that's when I
we
did
looked
not
it up. And
that was the where you drew
that was
line.
The deciding point for her. She looked it and saw.
I did not know what haggis was when I ate it the first time.
Okay,
so,
okay, really? Okay.
So that would explain why I did
that's
actually.
That's why
haggis.
I was surprised, because I'd be like, I don't know that I would try it. Kudos to you.
What is vegan haggis?
I don't know.
We're still not sure about
that.
It was good.
It was tasty.
So it's probably just haggis, but they tagged vegan on the front
they
of
just
it.
Think it's
it
fine.
Very well could be
for all the Americans. That
I mean,
showed
like,
up.
How is that?
That's what
well,
I didn't
it, it was
what?
Wrapped in pastry.
Yes.
The next course we had had chicken on it, so maybe that's where they were going.
I would say
they
the
wrap
one...
it in a and.
So they don't consider intestines
of, a,
that's
of
not,
an animal.
That's not an actual.
That's
probably
what I mean.
Not. It's not meat.
No, you can remove those without actually harming the animal.
Exactly.
I will say the one thing I saw on a menu that I thought would be the safe thing to eat first morning was bacon, but their bacon is not bacon, American bacon. It's kind of ham,
it's
but like
real
a fatty
ham.
And like sometimes super salty, sometimes it's like you never got a piece of what we consider bacon.
Really?
So, you know,
we got it once at an Italian restaurant of
yes,
all places.
But so that was the one thing that you're like, oh, breakfast, I'll have some bacon. And the sausages there are not normal breakfast sausages as well. So, and they serve baked beans for breakfast every
time.
Yeah,
well, I mean, I know that's a true English breakfast is like
baked beans, tomatoes,
toast,
black and white pudding,
and eggs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did get a full Irish breakfast once, and I ate about 30% of it. That being the eggs and bacon.
Because it was that big, or just that kind of
they
stuff
do
was not...
Act, their breakfast is no joke to them. They
is
eat,
that like one of their big meal? I mean,
oh,
a big meal
it,
to
yeah.
them?
They, well, they just eat, period.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You get breakfast, it's huge. You get fish and chips, it's huge. We didn't have a small meal while we were there.
No, and we ate fish and chips in every city just
oh, yeah.
to make sure we could find
we
the best one.
I think we ate 17 fish and chips.
Yeah.
Okay, and go. Where did the best one come from?
The Chippy.
Yes, which was in...
We that was the, in the Isle of Skye.
Yes.
In Scotland.
It was like a little hole in the wall. You had to go down this little path and go in, and it was just a teeny tiny shop, and then they wrapped it in the paper like you would think it would be, and they put the salt and vinegar on it.
I completely missed it, actually. She's the one that found it. Our
it
tour guide
hidden.
Said you can go to the chip shop down there. And I was looking and looking and looking, and I missed it. And she goes, oh, it's right there. And it was literally in between two buildings.
But facing the wrong way. It doesn't face the road.
Yeah. And it was by far the best. They
very
cook
cool.
it in beef fat.
Okay. Oh. All right. All right. Very cool.
Neat.
So, and then we went to Scotland?
We went back to Dublin to fly out to Edinburgh.
Well, that's where the outlet malls are, just north of
yes,
Columbus.
Yes, we actually
correct?
Returned home.
And we needed to do a quick shopping, and then we headed back out.
Yeah.
All right, so Edinburgh, Scotland,
mm-hmm.
and we did what?
We did a historical walking tour.
Yes.
It's very entrenched in history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They take their history very seriously.
You would like that.
Other than the walking part, I was going to ask.
It wasn't a lot of walking.
I was curious.
Too bad they didn't put it in like a vehicle or.
Well, I was
going to
ask if there was
something.
A historical riding tour.
One thing that is interesting, though, that we learned from some of our smaller tours is that they're very, very good at making buildings look old. So, like, a guy asked us on one. That was in Ireland, actually, but Scotland is the same way. He asked us how old we thought this church was, and we said the 1600s. Based on some of the other places we went, and he said 1961.
Oh, my.
So because they want to keep up with the traditional
they want, yeah,
look.
Yeah, the tourist attraction.
So you had to be very careful of, like, which places you picked to go.
Truly
because
old?
It's like, oh, that's beautiful. And then it's like, oh, that's not actually, like, old.
Well, and one thing that we asked another tour guide was, how difficult is it, and this was in Scotland, to build a house kind of in the countryside? And the regulations that go into what you can build, how big, what it has to look like are just extreme.
So do most people there live in the city? I mean, is that...
No, people are farmers and live out in the country.
Even with all those regulations to build a home?
The regulations really come to the fact that they don't want you to accent the land. So he gave the example of, like, he believes a log cabin would look beautiful out in all the green. But they don't want it to... accent the land. They want it to be hidden.
They want it to kind of blend in.
So you basically build a plain square white box, and so that when you drive by, you don't see the house, you see the nature. So they don't want anything to take away from nature. There's big protests going on because they want to expand the roads, which are teeny tiny. They look like one ways and they're two ways, but they have these beautiful stone fences that have been there for
right
I mean,
centuries.
Widening
the road.
And so they have signs everywhere that says, don't take away our heritage, leave our stone walls. And so it's very much a battle between how do you modernize while also staying with the tradition and keeping, because we never drove anywhere that it wasn't just absolutely gorgeous, beautiful, green. You didn't have to drive.
You don't see billboards.
No, absolutely not. Right. And even
you
in
see
the cities.
A sheep in the middle of the road that you have to wait while they decide if they want to cross. Multiple times.
Even in the city like Edinburgh, I mean.
You couldn't just hit it and have haggis?
I mean, you could.
Yeah, I couldn't. After falling in love with the lambs and sheep, I couldn't eat any of the lamb after
lamb
that.
Product,
no.
They were I mean, is our sheep one of their big things?
Sheep is one of the biggest, and then they have
because of the like the hills and the sheep can graze. I mean,
yes, yeah, and they just
it's one of the easier things to that
goats.
They have some goats. They're wild goats.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
What we learned is when certain Vikings came into town, they ran all the Highlanders out, and the Highlanders obviously left without their goats, and the goats stayed behind. So there's a lot of goats that just kind of live in the mountains and just
interesting.
Just they just do.
But Scotland more marks their sheep, and so you don't see a lot of fences built. They have more just natural fence lines for their farms, and their sheep just go wherever they want to go.
Different farms. Sheep will interact,
and then you see like they're marked. In Ireland, I asked why the sheep were marked, and asked the gentleman not to tell me if I wouldn't want to hear it because I was afraid it had something to do with the haggish, and so. But he said that was because they have to know which ones have been treated for certain diseases. But in Scotland, they mark them by the farmer so that they can get them back home.
Yeah.
How do they mark them?
Different colored spray paint.
Yeah. They just spray paint.
So it's like a blue and then a pink and then a red, like you see all
these
colors.
And they spray paint like their wool.
Yeah, they just give them a spot on the wool. And it's...
Okay.
I mean, it was not uncommon to drive around and see one red, a green, and a blue just all kind of running together.
Hanging together.
So the sheep and then the cows, but in Scotland, they're called coos, Highland coos.
Right.
And then they have some horses, and then they're starting to get alpaca, which are not native, but is something that's really growing as a as an animal of choice there for the farms. So,
And okay, so we're in Scotland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, outside of farming, what other industry? What do they do? Where
Tourist.
Do people work? Yeah, tourism
and agriculture are really the only, unless you're in the distillery business.
Okay.
There were 124 Scotch distilleries.
Tourists, alcohol, and farming.
They said you probably won't find a family there that doesn't have someone in the tourism business. Between tours and museums and different businesses like that, a lot of times they just have one that we went on, which was excellent. A guy bought a couple vans and did some 8-person tours, and he's growing it as they go. But that's really the business. Yeah. There is the tourism, and I think that's why you get treated so well there, because they want to keep people coming and seeing.
Because to me it sounds like they're very proud of their heritage. Mm-hmm. And all that kind
Extremely.
Of stuff. So they want to show it off, I guess, in a sense.
It's interesting because you go to the different like bars and restaurants and things, and he said that earlier, but like, you know, you think of Guinness in Ireland.
Uh-huh.
No, you travel to Cork, you do not order a Guinness.
Guinness is a dirty word there.
You
they
have
don't
to
have
order
it.
Their kind, which might be Beamish or might be something else.
Murphy's.
So they're very, and like every time you go into a different place, they have their local craft beer.
Oh, gotcha.
Their whiskey.
And
what you order. And you have to learn like that they are very, so they're very proud, and they're always willing to tell you about everything that they're doing or where you should visit. And so
One of our best days was a suggestion by a bartender at one of our hotels. And he asked us when we got there, he said, what are you going to do tomorrow? And we said, we were thinking about this. And he goes, no, do this. Do this instead. I guarantee it will be better. And we spent 10 hours in the car driving around the coast of a peninsula. And it was, I mean, the views, the beach, which Ireland has beaches, by the way, not just rain and hills. And it was by far the best day we had.
That's awesome.
And every one of our higher level days was on the suggestion of local.
And I know, like, I've talked to Danielle and stuff before this, and I know Danielle had said the same thing, because I totally understand, like, if I was in your shoes and going for 17 days, I mean, going like somewhere you obviously have no idea, never been, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I would want to have things planned, you know, like have you guys have the, you know, they to where they planned it. But it's like, I know that you had said, and that's what you did. Like, it was cool to hear the locals say, hey, do this or that. I mean,
if we were to go back and do it again, we definitely really wouldn't have booked anything unless someone was going to tell us that it would be unavailable, like certain
right.
events. But because, you know, there's no language barrier and
right.
They're always willing to help you out. It was much, the places we went to that were recommended by local people and far surpassed anything that we were able to book on tourist locations. But we also weren't the big bus kind of people. We had right. our car and we wanted to see like
right.
the real, you know, drive out and see other things. So
that
right.
honestly surprised me a lot was both countries, their customer service is beyond what you could ever imagine here in the U.S. I mean, just everywhere we went, put everything that we've ever been to ever to shame.
Really?
They are so customer
focused. And I mean,
that's
the thing too, is going, you know, out of the country, you don't really know if they're going to be that, I mean, you know, that helpful, or how helpful are they going
right.
to be, and say, you know, not that they would steer you in a wrong way, but like, are they going to, you know, really go out of their way and be like, hey, no, you should really do this and this and this. And so I think that's cool that, you know, like you guys said, that they were really open and honest and helpful with any of that.
Any question we asked, you know, every person, I mean, everybody has an opinion, but there was never
right.
a shortage of like, oh yeah, that's a great, like, just, there was no faking it. It was always,
very cool.
No, that's probably not a great idea. I've never heard good things about that place or, I mean, it was all just.
Which it's good that, I mean, you had a couple days or, you know, certain times to where you could just kind of freelance and go off of those. Cause like you said, that was one of the best days that, you know, you had. So that's cool. So,
yeah. So after Edinburgh, we went to Inverness,
mm-hmm.
home of the Loch Ness and
yeah.
the famous Loch Ness Monster.
Okay.
Which exists.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. You saw it.
We did not get the chance to see it. But
it's like a big dinosaur.
That's the running scientist theory right now, is it's some kind of aquatic dinosaur that somehow managed to get stuck in the lock and has thus somehow managed to continually reproduce, or is millions of years old. We're not sure. But that is the running theory.
Do they believe that over there?
Absolutely.
They truly believe that it's...
Some do, and some believe it's more of a religious type thing,
okay.
because it's said that a religious man came and stopped the monster from eating someone else.
It was a Catholic that
yes.
came in and
so they
showed...
do believe it's a Catholic story that has kind of shown the power of...
And that's why you can't find mm-hmm. the monster, because there's the Highlanders who had their very... Norse type religion with the polytheistic, and that there was a lake monster, and that a Catholic came and quote unquote scared the monster away, and that was the power of Christ, and he scared the monster away, and thus it is not seen. So that's
okay.
probably the more realistic story. But there are a lot of, other than just the obvious tourist industry,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of people that believe the monster is real,
and
really?
Loch Ness is very dark, almost to the point of black, so you cannot see.
You can't see 3 feet
into the
under.
Water at all. So,
oh, gotcha.
That kind of goes along with the story of that. That's why you can't.
That's
find
why you
the
can't
monster.
See him.
And it's the third largest lake they have, but it's 22 miles long and 900 feet deep.
So it's not a small place to search.
No,
oh my.
Yeah,
and I apologize because I was distracted there just a little bit, but. The Loch Ness Monster, do they believe that's the only one?
Is there just, I mean, if they're reproducing or you
no,
said, or very
it's,
old.
It's just Nessie.
It is just Nessie.
So there's just one.
And it's lived forever.
Correct.
It's just mega old.
They don't mention
they're
how?
Actually doing a big thing right now to try to prove or disprove it, where
they're doing genetic
research in the water and
yeah.
seeing if they can.
Why not just drain the whole thing?
He said it's huge.
Yeah.
It has more water in it than the Great Lakes combined.
What'd you say? It's like 900 feet deep?
900 feet deep and 22 miles
long.
That'd
be a good reason why not to drink.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, that's a lot of water.
That'd be a terrific answer to why not to drain,
not to drain
it currently.
No, that is the place where we actually stayed in the Klansman Hotel. And our hotel room actually had a beautiful view of the lock. We got to look straight out onto it.
But never saw Nessie.
We never saw Nessie.
Mm-hmm. So no. When did the Nessie whole thing start? Like, when do they
climb? Honestly is just, you mean like the tourist attraction of it all?
No. Like, I heard you earlier, and again, I apologize, I was distracted, but they talked about it being connected to Christ, and that Christ was, I mean, we can document that Christ was 2,000 some years old, and you know, that's, you know,
I think it was more on invasion's a bad word, but the spread of Catholicism to the United Kingdom area and the pagan beliefs that they had from the Vikings and the Highlanders and what they believed in, that there was this monster. And in that time when Catholicism really started to spread, and I think it was 1300s, I think is what our tour guide said, this Catholic priest came down and stepped into the water to his knees and said, "Be gone, monster." And that was when it...
The famous picture, though, that really started it all as a, like...
Craze.
Following was done by a doctor. So everyone believed that there was no way that this doctor could have lied. He was very renowned. And then on his deathbed, he did admit that the picture was... fake.
So
that kind of started,
but
the
people
following.
Don't believe that.
People are starting to believe that his picture was fake, but still believe that since he was
there was a reason
it,
he made something to look like it.
Mm-hmm. So they still don't give up on it, but he did. That's kind of what really brought it all about, was because they were like, this man who we idolize would not lie to us about this. And so they decided that.
Now, when have doctors ever lied?
So,
well, and let's not get into conspiracy theories, but I mean, the American government has lied several times in the last 200 some plus
years.
And
we do have a picture that I could very clearly edit to look like Nessie. So,
oh, yeah. A little bit of darkening, a little Photoshop.
It's like a duck, and it's got the perfect neck and everything. So, I mean, I could definitely...
Well,
I do, too.
I took it in my bathtub earlier.
I might be rich soon.
So, okay. So, needless to say, Nessie is several thousand years old.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But I think that they have to keep the dream alive because the whole place is literally
the tourism.
Just Nessie land.
Our hotel had a Nessie shop in it.
Yes.
Every store along the road.
Which, I mean, I believe that because you brought two books.
It was the best place to find stuff for kids as souvenirs.
I mean, brought a book for Alan and a book for Alex about Nessie and...
Yeah,
that
so
kind of thing.
Everywhere you go, and there's huge statues of Nessie, and like we had a little boy at dinner that was asking his parents, "When can I see the monster?" So
God help those parents, because if that kid did not see the monster on their tour the next day,
they were going on they had a boat all day, and he really thought he was going to get to see it. So I would not want to have been on the boat when he may or may not have fueled that too.
I was really
he kept coming over to the window by our table, and we were like, "Oh yeah, the monster," and he was really thinking they were going to find it. So maybe they did. Let's hope.
Well, and
you think you maybe would have saw it on the news?
Yeah, probably, yes.
And I guess I kind of think the interesting thing, and it's kind of like all those kind of conspiracy theories, like Bigfoot.
Yes.
You know, it's the same question I've brought up about it. Like, no one's ever said, like, it's just always Bigfoot.
Yes.
Like, it's not like the species of Bigfoots.
It's one.
Like,
yeah, it is the...
The one and only.
Yeah, like, so he's been around several hundred years.
It's not big feet, it's Bigfoot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if I go look for the great white shark, I may bump into several of them.
Right.
And same thing with Nessie. It's like, it's never, hey, I saw three of them.
No,
or I saw
it's
one,
not like it's a
I saw
species
a mother
of
and
animal.
Its child. Yeah. No, I just saw this one that looks the same exact way, which kind of always, you know, intrigues me because... You have to know that's not real then. I mean, it's got
to
have
multiples. Because, I mean, we did get asked every time by the tour guides, like, are you a believer? And they're like, you better say yes.
And you said yes.
Oh, and
yeah,
we said
yes.
Said like,
yes.
I mean, obviously we're here. Like, maybe it is. But it is all for the... And, I mean, props to them because...
The marketing team there is
incredible. I mean, you've turned that into a, you turned a dinosaur monster into a cute little green
that
thing.
That nobody's ever seen.
For all children. Like, I mean, you,
yeah,
you took,
that's true.
Untrue. Untrue. Several people claim to have seen it.
That's true.
There's a woman that says she sees it every day, actually.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. She might have glaucoma.
It comes up and feeds out of her hand,
yes,
I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Several people have also been abducted by aliens. And I don't know if you realize, I don't know if you celebrated, just on this Wednesday was actually the day that Will Smith saved us from aliens.
I did not get to celebrate.
I think I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, so I don't know if you jumped in on that, but pretty important. So what else? How did we wrap the trip up?
From Inverness, we went to Fort William.
We did some safari tours of all the different animals and a boat tour. And then we went back to...
We ended up going back to Edinburgh for the last night, in which we stayed in probably the nicest hotel/apartment room we've ever been in.
Yes, when we got there, they had upgraded us to the nicest room in the hotel because of our honeymoon, and it was the size of a very large apartment. So that was a very cool way to end the last day. So
yeah, we left for dinner and came back to turn down service that had put a heart in rose petals
and pulled all the curtains for us. I thought someone had broken into the room at first when I was like, why is there stuff on the bed?
I mean this room was out of this world, completely absurd. And props to the Glasshouse Hotel. I mean, they really made us, just even in the last, you know, 16 hours we had in the country, they really made it special for us.
Very cool. So when you're there, do they have a lot of like American type? I mean, like obviously the hotels and stuff wasn't like the normal type of hotels that you would see, like food wise. Do they have any kind of like food chain? I mean, like, or is it all, I mean, like authentic to the, I mean, like, do you see McDonald's as you're walking around? Like, I just didn't know.
85% is authentic. I mean, we saw.
There's McDonald's,
Burger King, yeah. Starbucks, but.
Really?
But the big time restaurants, you don't see like an Applebee's or right. a Chili's or anything. There's not very many chains. It's mostly locally family owned.
Usually they
places.
Have something different. That's why I just pulled it up here.
We did see a lot of different menu items.
Yeah.
Oh, is that
usually,
right?
Yes. Because I used to talk about this in sociology. So right here, I just pulled up McDonald's Ireland. They have big flavor wraps. They have the fiery buffalo chicken one. And it literally is one at the end. The barbecue and bacon chicken one. The garlic mayo chicken one. And the sweet chili one.
Because is that where they like try out different ones? Because
it's
just the different flavors of the
area.
Yeah,
it's what is regionally accepted there.
Okay.
Shout out to Supermax of Ireland. And
McDonald's is trying to get Supermax to change its name. But they are literally the McDonald's. And their family name is McDonald's. And so they actually paid money to put a billboard
in
Times Square that said, do you want this special Crave box, snack box?
And closest said, snack box, 9,600 miles away.
So the owner of Supermax is just like...
Oh, he's trolling McDonald's.
Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
So there are a few fast food type restaurants. We did one night get Domino's pizza because it was the only food that was open. And
it was one of those nights where we might have stayed at the bar too long.
Yes, and the cheesy bread was not American cheesy bread.
It was
terrible. We were perplexed by that.
Disappointed.
It was a extra small personal pizza with really weird sauce and
otherwise
not a lot of
you
cheese.
Try to, you know, eat local, no ketchup,
right?
No, they don't like to salt and pepper things, and it's cheaper to drink beer or whiskey than it is water.
No way.
Most of the time you're not getting water with your meal, and water's more expensive than a Diet Coke or anything like that. So
I don't think we had a meal with water.
So, just right here on the McDonald's site, you can obviously see in Ireland there are twisty fries, which are curly fries, but also cheese bites with rich tomato dip, which I'm
it's not ketchup.
It's not, really?
No, absolutely not.
It's very vinegary. Tomato dip is very... They have a brown sauce, which is not barbecue sauce. It's literally called brown sauce.
Do they use that tomato
dip?
Is
it more like
a
gravy?
No, it's like barbecue sauce, but instead of like, you know, like regular vinegar that we use, they use malt vinegar.
They like mayonnaise.
And that's the primary ingredient.
They dip their fries in mayonnaise.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like several of our students do as well.
Yeah. So if you ask for ketchup, they'll give you like
Andrew
two
and
packs.
Dustin wasn't like that at all.
No. We didn't eat mayonnaise.
No, I constantly was asking for ketchup.
Something other than mayonnaise?
And they looked at me funny every time.
Yeah, you
time.
Barely ever got like a bottle of ketchup like you do in the United States.
Right.
Okay, yeah. So this is the Scottish website, or the UK, I guess I should say, website for McDonald's. And you already see barbecue BLC, which is bacon, lettuce, and chicken. The spicy vegetable deluxe, something that obviously we do not have. They also have the chicken ones.
It's like a chicken wrap.
They have cheese bites as well. Melon fruit bag. I mean, that's what I was looking for today.
The shaker side salad is probably the largest salad you're going to find anywhere over there. They don't eat dinner salads.
Mm-mm. Oh, really?
They put you a couple pieces of broccoli on the side of your plate of
salad is
food.
A decoration to them.
Yes.
Everything is served with potatoes, mm-hmm. potatoes, and more potatoes.
Yes.
I find it very interesting that the pancakes and syrup are served on a piece of paper. Yeah, like, hey, this will be easy to eat.
Like what you unwrap your biscuit in.
Yeah. Yeah, so.
Interesting. Well, that's what I was just curious. Like,
no, we.
Because, like, you know, you think McDonald's are everywhere, mm-hmm. and I didn't know if they truly are. Or, I mean, I know they are at some extent, but.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's,
the only place we really strayed from getting local food was the Italian place we went to our first night in Edinburgh. Because everything else was just pub food, and we'd eaten so much pub food,
yeah.
that we were just ready for something different. And it was actually probably the best Italian restaurant we've ever been to.
Really? And yes, I would definitely say if I can understand you guys going over there for a couple weeks, I mean, I'm not going to sit there and eat McDonald's every day. I mean...
Well, and everything closes very early.
Oh,
so,
really?
Like, restaurants, you're not going to get a meal after...
Other
eight,
than the pubs.
8, 9 o'clock. And you might get some pub food.
Pubs,
some pubs
maybe.
Stop serving food.
Oh, I bet that's true, yeah.
Like, our restaurant bars stop serving food around 10, but all restaurants shut down about 8 or 9. And you can't even get into, like, a pharmacy. When I say pharmacy, I mean, like, a CVS for Band-Aids or anything like that. They're not called CVS there.
Right.
They all close about 5 o'clock. So,
really?
So the first couple
was
nights when
late,
there was things
was
that we
open
needed.
They,
do they, I mean, like, do, are they more of like a, the, I guess you said they're into breakfast, so like
no,
a lot of the restaurants.
They're a 9 to 5.
They're just very family oriented.
Okay.
So they're very much that they go home. The only people you will see working, like what I found interesting too, is most of our hotels, you only had someone working the hotel until 11 p.m. So even one hotel told us if we were planning to stay out past 11 p.m., we would have to make special arrangements to be able to get back in the hotel because they lock it up. They don't have their workers stay there.
They don't have somebody
overnight.
Even
so
there.
It's a very big deal if a hotel told you have 24-hour service
entry,
down
yeah.
here because they go home.
Only the two big hotels we stayed at
had 24-hour.
Yeah.
So to throw out a totally different side, and I know this is not anywhere near where you went, but just to... To give you an example, Callie, this is something
Dustin
I used...
Dustin is still looking at food menus, by the
yes.
way.
Yes.
We're still on McDonald's.
So, I mean, we've moved on, but he's still on that.
No, but this
but
is...
that is a very insane burger.
Well, it's not a burger, because this is actually what I used to show in sociology. So this is McDonald's India, which obviously you have a Hindu population there that believes the cow is sacred. So burgers there are always chicken, even though there is no
okay.
chicken.
That's a chicken Big Mac.
That's a chicken Mahara Mac is
oh.
what it is actually
oh.
called. But some of the other things you'll see here, like breakfast, you'll see the Veg McMuffin, the McEgg.
I don't think I want any of those.
It's green. It
looks
like a green egg.
What is that thing down there? The
McAloo Tiki?
Tiki, yeah.
It is like a kind of like a Pacific Island chicken.
It's like a chicken masala?
It's got like... combination of potato. Actually, it's a potato and pea patty.
Oh.
It's not chicken. With Indian spices coated with breadcrumbs, served with sweet tomato mayo, fresh onions, and tomatoes on a regular bun.
Well, now I know to be very careful if I go there of what I order.
So,
the McSpicy.
Yeah, a lot of these
like
are
the
potato. But the chicken Mahara Mac, this is what takes place of your
Big Mac.
Typical Big Mac. And this is take your taste buds on the most flavorsome journey with the chicken Mahara Mac. Enjoy its delicious grilled chicken double patty enveloped in a rich habanero sauce that mingles with fiery habaneros, juicy tomatoes, and crunchy shredded onions placed on a cheddar cheese and a bed of iceberg lettuce, all packed between sesame seed double-decker buns. However, remember to have time on your hands when you pick this burger. Its superlative richness takes time to devour.
Wow, that is
so... not that everybody, unless you've done some... magic here. I don't know if anybody on the Facebook Live can actually see the picture.
No.
They should look it up because I'm not confident that grilled chicken in India is the same as grilled chicken here. Those look like a McChicken patty.
Oh, I think they might be grilled. They look a little different here. A little bit.
Yeah, they look like the, like a, yeah.
Very thin grilled chicken.
Maybe.
But, you know, I the sad thing is it kind of goes away from the whole, what is it, two all beef patties, lettuce, onion, pickle, cheese. Special
two
sauce.
All beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onion on a sesame seed bun.
Yeah, I can't do that with the whole habanero sauce fiery.
Yeah, that's
awesome,
not
going to
happen.
Superlative.
That's why they had to use all those big words.
Yeah,
they
well,
don't
absolutely.
Have a song.
They had to slow it down.
But I just, I did. I know you guys had moved on. I wanted to bring that up just to show that McDonald's around the world are regionally kind of.
That's good. Good
know,
for good for McDonald's. Way to go. It,
but all restaurants. I mean, I just saw the other day on Facebook. I think that KFC may be in. In Europe, maybe has started a
pizza.
A pizza that
on
is
the
a
chicken.
Yeah, it's a chicken breast like crust
with
pizza on top of it. So you're actually eating like a chicken breast.
They like, really like to see how much they can just hurt your just, heart.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh yeah.
Well, no, this is one of the coolest ones. I'm going to pull this one up too. I know that Callie's going to.
I think actually
Pizza Hut Japan is one of my favorite ones.
Oh wow.
Oh, they're insane.
Wait till you see some of these things. They do some of the craziest things. I've ever seen.
I think actually.
Actually, let me just go back to the pictures here because these will have them. This is one of my favorite ones. This is the mini hot dog crust.
Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Wait, is it like a taco pizza in the middle?
I don't know what it is in the middle, but
I don't know, but it's like
but
mini
these are
hot dogs.
Mini
all
hot
the way
dogs
around.
On the crust. Mm. I think this is crab rangoon pizza.
Oh,
I have actually had crab rangoon pizza in the U.S. and it is fantastic.
Wow! Oh, there's mini cheeseburgers.
Can you see that one?
Right there.
Oh yeah, right here.
That yeah, mini topless cheeseburgers. Yeah.
I mean, Pizza Hut Japan is totally
that is
like
corn and mayonnaise on a pizza.
It is totally like what is the worst idea we could come up with?
And they put it on the pizza,
and it works.
Yeah,
it's like they crowdsource ideas and then they say challenge accepted.
It's like the weird chip flavors in the United States.
Yeah,
we're not even that weird though.
Yeah,
yeah, biscuit and gravy Lay's I'm better with than mini hot dog.
I agree with that. Yes. Yeah.
Pizza.
I mean, it saves you oven space. Let's be real. How many times have you made pizza rolls and mini hot dogs? I mean, now you're just
never.
Saving space. Never?
Never.
No.
Not in college. Well, no time. Oh, no.
Dang it.
No.
You're not on our party level then.
No. No. Frozen burritos in the microwave, maybe, but no, I can't.
No.
Can't go there. So, all right. So anything else? We're at over an hour actually already, but anything else huge that stands out from the vacation?
I would say, well, our favorite location was Isle of the Sky, and our tour guide said we had to pass 6 cars to be able to get to the top. And if you can see the roads, passing cars is not a fun thing in an 8-person minivan. So we did get there, and we got to go to the very top. So that was one of the coolest places.
Yeah, we were on top of Kieran Rock with 25-mile-an-hour winds about a mile up on a mountain, and it was breathtaking.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just there was not a thing that we did that, you know, we even looked at like Google Maps and it said 2-hour drive, and everybody we talked to said, oh, don't worry about the drive, it's just breathtaking. And that was true. No matter,
I would say my favorite thing, like remembering from there, was they bury all of their people on top of each other there, so you just keep burying.
Her
so like
favorite thing.
It's a very cool thing. They like, so they keep going up and up and up, and like a family might be all in one place. But some of the things we learned about where like certain sayings come from is that there used to be the grave robbers, and they would come and dig up the bodies and take them to a doctor for them to
practice.
Learn more about the body to practice. So families would stay at the grave site to protect their family.
Right.
We also learned that the reason that Ireland does 3-day wakes is because a lot of times the people would wake back up within those 3 days because they were just drunk.
They were in a drunken coma.
So if you would have a party and have their favorite alcohol and talk about them for 3 days and share memories, you would see if they wake back up.
Which happened more than they care to admit.
So that became so common that they actually started what now is known as the graveyard shift, and they hired someone to walk the graves. And when you buried someone, you would tie a string to their finger that would be connected to the bell outside. So if they would wake up buried, they would obviously flap around and make the bell go off, which comes from Saved by the Bell or Dead Ringer. The graveyard shift would come and dig them up and save their life because they were actually still alive. Oh, so it was kind of neat to see where some of the sayings come from, like Dead Ringer and Saved by the Bell and Graveyard Shift. So some of that kind of history stuff was really neat to
learn.
And also learning about the native language. As being a speech therapist, the Gaelic language is beautiful and they're really trying to bring it back. Right. So a lot of that stuff, as much as it sounds like we just went to distilleries, we did not.
and so, did like food and like drinking tours and that was it.
Yeah, we did a lot of those, but we also got to learn a lot about the different history. But some of those things were really, really fun.
This is a really important question. Yes. You talked about Saved by the Bell. Did Zach Morris ever take a timeout?
He did not. And I did think that they were talking about it. At first, I was like, they were like, you know, Saved by the Bell. And I was like, yes, I do. Tell me more.
I watched it a lot.
Well, yeah. I don't know if you know, but Screech is going to be in Seymour soon.
Yes.
I did not.
At Rails in Seymour.
Is he going to get a flat tire and say that someone helped him and that it's the nicest town around?
Shout out to Sherry Roller.
Wasn't he? But he was in jail for a while, wasn't he?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, he got in a bar fight, so be careful.
Well, yeah. He's had a spotty past.
Yeah, we won't get into the other issues in his past. Yeah. But we're at an hour and 10 minutes. I want to just say thank you guys again for coming in. I know it's the second time. And
thank you.
You know, shout out to you guys for kind of telling us about your honeymoon and a very interesting one. I know that when Callie and I went on our honeymoon, we just kind of swam in the lazy river.
We did do a lot of drinking and eating.
And swimming in the lazy river.
We didn't. Not any traveling other than getting there.
I mean, would you say swimming or floating?
I swam quickly to the locations with drinks.
the bar.
You know, when I asked you guys earlier what was the best and worst things you had, Callie tried to order beef tartare one night French restaurant because she just knew it said beef and she thought I like beef. And then the waiter said, do you know that's raw?
We did have to Google a few things to make sure if I was going to order the plate or not because I didn't know what some of the words meant. So
yeah,
I
don't blame you.
The phone came in handy. Yes.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all.
But thanks again for you guys coming on and, you know, very, very cool stories. And we appreciate you being a part of it.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.